Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and you're all familiar with my interest, my fandom for genre entertainment on stage, and I have just been made aware of yet another fun event. Also in Chicago, I think there's a conspiracy to get me to move to Chicago, I'm not sure. But the Otherworld Theater Company puts on a science fiction and fantasy play festival. And their literary manager, Elliot Sowards, is here to tell us all about it. Hi, Elliot.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. I have been a fan of Wildclaw Theater Company's work for years. And imagine my surprise when I get this email saying, hey, we do science fiction and fantasy on stage. You want to talk to us? I'm like, go on.
Yeah.
So where the event you guys have coming up in November is the Paragon Playfest. And you have to tell my listeners all about this because this sounds so cool.
Okay, yeah. First, love Wildclaw. We have some good friends over there. And it's cool that Chicago allows us the opportunity to have multiple genre theaters that might not be able to be funded in other cities in the country. But yeah, Paragon started in 2013, 2014. I came on as literary manager and realized right away that the job is not going to be as easy as I thought it was, because usually a literary manager's job is to find plays. So you go online to Samuel French or Dramatic Publishing and you look for plays that your theater company would be interested in, and you submit them and they decide which ones are best. But we were starting a genre, basically. So there were no plays in science fiction and fantasy. And so in order to change that, we decided we would start a science fiction and fantasy play festival in the hopes of we would get, you know, it was going to be minimalist and we were going to have basically just staged readings and we'd get probably 10 scripts, hopefully, if we were lucky. But I posted all over Facebook writing forums, and within about a month, I had over 200 submissions. So clearly there were some people out there who were writing science fiction and fantasy plays, but had just been sitting on them because they didn't think anybody would produce them.
Huh.
So I had the idea that we've got this number. Let's go ahead and go big and create the largest science fiction and fantasy play festival in the world. And have it be 40 plays in 2 days. That was a crazy decision. I don't know if it was the best decision. 5 years later, I still don't know if it was the best decision, but I do think it achieved the goal, which was to convince people in the theater community, writers, directors, actors, that science fiction has a place on stage and that those stories can be told as effectively on stage as they can be in books or movies.
I would have thought that fantasy would have been a popular genre in theater because Shakespeare wrote a couple of fantastical plays. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think in the musical world, they don't shy away from it, but Chicago's theater history is really deeply embedded in realism, ultra realism, like Steppenwolf and Sam Shepard and David Mamet. And so they still kind of are in there. And it really had honestly been a lot of, I mean, not to be disrespectful, but regurgitation of that type of theater for decades. And that's what people thought that you had to do and strain outside of that. Especially, I think, you know, once things like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings came around, I think people stopped looking at sci-fi and fantasy as a potential thing for the stage. They just assumed it could be done better on film.
So what led to you wanting to create this festival? Was it simply just, we don't have enough science fiction fantasy plays, and we need to spread the word? Or was there an intent, yeah, I want to put on 40 plays in 2 days, and let's go.
Yeah, no, I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never organized a play festival at all. I think it was just, you know, we had to find a venue. Our venue, that was my biggest concern. And we finally found a venue, and we had all these writers, and we had all these directors, and they all had casts. And then a week and a half before the first Paragon, our venue got shut down and lost their liquor license and their entertainment license. So we had to scramble and find a venue in a week and a half. And there was a theater at the time called the Public House that we had performed a show with the year before, and they graciously took us in and did a profit share with us and allowed us to use their space and basically saved us for the first year of that festival. And that actually is the theater that we own now. So it's kind of weird how it works out. But we needed plays, and we needed to convince people to write plays because there weren't any available online, and it's hard to run a theater company without plays. So that's why we started it, and we just kind of learned as we went. And that's a lot of moving parts. So one, the selection process, two, communicating with writers and directors and actors, and it's all, you know, it's all for, it no one gets paid, so it's all a labor of love. So it can be difficult to keep track of everybody, kind of a wrangling cats situation.
Well, you mentioned that the first Paragon you had 200 submissions. How many are you up to this year?
We had over 600 submissions this year.
From all over the world, or just,
yeah.
Wow.
From the UK, from Canada, from a couple countries in South America, Portugal, New Zealand, Australia, Pakistan. So there are, yeah, there's South Africa. There's interest pretty much on every continent. Now, not every continent made it in this year. I think we only have 3 continents represented, but that's still pretty good for a festival that's only 5 years old. And yeah.
So talk about the parameters for submissions. Is there a page limit, a time limit, a specifics of content?
Well, we kind of have, through trial and error, gotten it down to a shorter length of play. So the festival's not quite as long as it used to be. You know, when we were more desperate for submissions, because after the first year, it slowed down a little bit as far as submissions, and then it ramped back up to what it is now. But we had a lot of pretty lengthy shows that were 45 minutes to, I think some were getting to the point where they were an hour and a half, which is really basically a full-length show. And we decided that that wasn't the direction we wanted to go. It was, you know, we didn't feel it was fair to the performers or the directors to burden them with that much script and that much commitment. So now it's almost all of them are in the 10 to 20 minute range. But we go up to 45 minutes to an hour. If it's something really spectacular that we feel like needs to be told and it's about an hour in length, we'll put it up there, because an hour kind of fits into a zone where it's a little bit too short to mark it as a full length stage play, like for part of our season, but it's a little on the long side for something like Paragon. So we still try to support those works if we can.
How do you guys handle the set design and the costumes and everything? Is that part of each individual director's purview, or is there an overall, shall we say, cat herder?
Yeah, we started as we started taking the Public House, which is the theater that we now own, was a their main show, the moneymaker called Bye Bye Liver, and they and so their theater, the theater that we used for it, was set up like a bar. So we had all these tchotchkes and bar things in the background, and we were doing these weird sci-fi plays in front of it with that. but our original idea was that it would be a minimalist, almost a stage reading type festival. And kind of directors started taking it on and taking it very seriously and putting a lot of work and effort into it. And we try to discourage directors from spending a whole lot of their own money. That's not really what we want. We're happy if people just stage the plays and all blacks and black background, and we provide them with stools that they can use and chairs. But they're welcome to bring their own things as long as and their own props and furniture as long as we can fit it in the space. And there's only about a few minutes in between each show because we've got to get through 40. So whatever they bring in has to be something that we can move in and move out pretty quickly, just to keep the flow going. And it's we have an enormous stockpile of props and costumes after being a company for 7 years and not throwing anything away. So we open that up to people if they want to if they want to look through it and use any of it.
Now, talk about the selection process. What helps a particular play get from, you know, one of 600 to one of 40?
Sure. This sounds basic, but a beginning, middle, and end is a really good place to start. You know, I mean, there are some stories that just lack basic structure. The other is we try to be representational in our stories. We try to be as progressive as we can, as far as as current as we can. Chicago in particular is a very progressive theater community, and we try to conform to that. And it's making sure that things aren't racist or misogynistic. A lot of plays get cut because of that. You know, telling stories that aren't your own is a problem in theater right now. It's a learning curve, or things that are dated that people might have thought were funny or humorous 10 to 20 years ago, but now are offensive and the writer didn't get the memo. And we also want creative, unique ideas that fall into the genre of sci-fi and fantasy. That's the other thing, is a lot of the stories we get aren't sci-fi and fantasy, and they may be good, but we can't use them because they don't fit into our mission or the goal of the festival.
Okay. Pro tip number one, tell a complete story. Pro tip number two, be kind and considerate. Gotcha. So what has the audience reaction been to this festival? Obviously, it's gotten some positive feedback because it's growing and is continuing year after year.
Yeah, I think the response has been overwhelmingly positive. It's even people who don't make the cut, we try to let everyone know, you know, through email that, you know, that we appreciate their submission, but they didn't make it into this year's festival. And people just seem to be thrilled that there's somebody who's even taking the time to read a play that takes place in a sci-fi or fantasy world. For so many years, I think it's been beaten into a lot of playwrights that by professors and whomever that if you write something, you better make sure your play is so stageable that nobody will ever turn it down because it's too difficult to stage. And so they're terrified to stage something in another world. Most plays end up being set in a living room or some place that is, you know, basic and the scenery never changes, at least the plays that generally get performed in Chicago. And so it's always interesting to see a director who's didn't even know that this was an option, that they could direct a sci-fi or fantasy play. Come here. Dog. And actors as well. I mean, I think it's our biggest exposure to the Chicago theater community every year. We work with 40 directors every year. They come, many of them, again, have never written or directed a sci-fi play. We actors, they all have casts. The directors all have casts. Many of them have never acted or seen a sci-fi or fantasy play. And a lot of those people end up becoming full-time members of our company because they have such a great experience. And most of the time it starts with Paragon. It's usually the best way to get your foot in the door with our company.
Now, have any plays been submitted, any longer ones that you guys ended up saying, hey, this could be a production we put on during our season?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we have a play. We've started a second stage in our – we have two theater spaces, a larger one called the Bradbury, where our main stage performances are done, kind of our bigger, more spectacle-driven shows. And then we are starting a second stage for more intimate, a little bit more traditional theater, a little bit less emphasis on sci-fi and fantasy, but still fall into that realm. And one of the plays this year called Anniversary was a fan favorite last year in Paragon. So, yeah, we take note of the plays that work in Paragon, and the writer of Countess Dracula, which is one of our current main stage shows, has written two full-length plays for us. This will be the third full-length play he's written for us, and we met him through Paragon. He wrote a 10-minute play for Paragon and ended up writing three full-length plays for us over 4 years. So,
now, have you seen any of the other companies in Chicago or anywhere in the upper Midwest where, because I think Minnesota, there's a play company up there. Was it Roustabout? Is it Minnesota or?
Michigan, I think.
Michigan. But yeah, they do some oddball genre-specific type stories. And so has the success of Paragon led to you seeing more fantasy and science fiction being told at other companies?
It's hard to tell how much of an impact we had. I don't want to take too much credit for it because I think we got in at a good time, and I think people were ready for it. And I don't know if it's a chicken or egg situation, but when we started, you know, 6-7 years ago, everybody was telling us we were crazy and that it was gimmicky and that nobody in Chicago would care or want to go. And now you absolutely see the big houses like Steppenwolf and Goodman doing shows like 1984 and things that fall. There's several fantasy plays that are out there. She Kills Monsters is performed quite a bit. You're starting to see more and more sci-fi and fantasy in quote-unquote legitimate theater houses. And I don't know if we had much of an impact on that, but we've always done really well bringing in audiences. I think we cater to a group of people who felt like they're felt unrepresented in theater before. I think we're telling stories that weren't being told before, and people who may have never thought that they would find themselves watching a play and prefer, you know, staying at home and watching Netflix or playing video games are now realizing that theater's not so bad, and maybe they'd like something outside of our genre too. So I think it's good for the growth of the medium, I think, to be able to bring new audiences into an art form as opposed to just continuing to cater to the same group of folks.
Now, the festival, you said it runs over 2 days, and people can purchase tickets by either which day or which block on a particular day. Is there an awards or a ranking? Like, are there going to be like a first place, second place, third place type thing? Or is it just come and enjoy?
No, we don't because it's a little bit easier to give awards for the our Juggernaut Film Festival because we can all watch those films ahead of time and vote on them. It's a little bit more difficult with plays because we actually have to physically be there to watch them all. And most people don't have the time to sit and watch the whole festival. You're more than welcome to come to watch the whole festival. We have full weekend passes, but even though people will step out for a block or two and get some food or whatever. So we haven't done that. I thought about it several times. The logistics of how we would honestly give awards to people. I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Well, given that, are there any plays in this year's festival that you would, or recommend rather, people see? It's like, okay, here are two you really have to see.
There's a play in one of the last blocks of, off the top of my head, I'm not sure which day it is, but it's by a playwright named Scott Sickles. And he's written for General Hospital for years, and has some other really promising web series that have come out recently. He's been in Paragon several years. His plays are always really strong. Part of the thing about Paragon, though, which is always interesting to me, and that's why it's more than just a selection. It's more than just the organization. The event really is its own thing, because some of the best plays I've ever seen on paper didn't work. Like they didn't translate on stage, whether it was due to direction or acting or just stage ability. Some of the ones that I thought barely made it into the festival and I wasn't sure about ended up becoming my favorites when I actually saw them performed and I saw what the director did with them. So it's kind of one of the cool things about our genre is that so much of it involves your imagination that it really gives the director an opportunity to mold their play, mold their script into what they want it to be.
Well, for the listeners, it looks like I'd Follow You Anywhere, A Solaris Story, which was written by Scott Sickles, is in that very last block on Sunday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So stick around. Yeah.
Now, Paragon is not the only genre-focused event that Otherworld puts on. You mentioned earlier the Juggernaut Film Festival. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Juggernaut was in, I believe we ran it, it was 2 months ago now, and we have tons of submissions from all over the world. Some of them have $1 million budgets, and they all are science fiction or fantasy based. Some of them are made right here in Chicago. But we do awards for that. We've given out awards, I think, every year we've done it, and it's continued to grow. And we used to host it in the Music Box, the historic Music Box Theater in Lakeview, and we've moved it to our theater space on Clark and Irving Park in Wrigleyville since we've taken over the space. But yeah, I mean, if there are more specific questions about that, I might be able to help.
Well, yeah, no, it's like that runs more like a regular film festival. Filmmakers submit their finished projects, and you guys view them and have a certain selection and then just play them all, let the audience enjoy.
Absolutely, yeah. It's and if you go to otherworldtheater.org, there's a whole festival section on our website that goes over Genrethon, which is our other festival, which we haven't talked about yet, and Juggernaut and Paragon, and how to submit for all of those.
Cool. Now, the dates, like since Juggernaut just happened, there's no submission rounds or dates or anything for next year's festival yet, right?
Not yet. But if you like us on Facebook, we're very good at updating when the submission process starts, and you can get on our mailing list too, and that'll be a way that you can be sure not to miss your chance to submit.
Cool.
But
and you mentioned Genrethon, which seems to be more comedy focused.
Right. Yeah. It is. there were a couple of different kind of comedic improv sketch festivals that were going on in Chicago over the past few years that were geek, nerd-centric, involved sci-fi and fantasy, improvised Star Trek, those types of things. And we have we started this past year something called Genre-thon, and it's kind of our version of that. So it's a sketch festival that involves you know, geeky and nerdy content. So if that's your bag, then you should come and check it out. It's a lot of laughs.
So it's mostly science fiction fantasy with a comedic take, sort of pratfalls and geeky jokes kind of thing.
Right. So one of our house crews performers is plays improvised Dungeons and Dragons. it's probably our most popular standard running show. It's every Sunday, and yeah, so the plays, sketches you see in Genre-thon all fit in that. And there's a huge, obviously, there, if you don't know, there's a large improv and sketch community in Chicago. So mm-hmm. We kind of feed off of that.
Cool. So that sounds like you guys keep busy all year round with that in your regular productions. What's coming up for you guys after Paragon?
After Paragon, we currently are doing Countess Dracula, which is running right now. It's a reimagining of the story of Dracula by Bram Stoker. And then following that up, we have an origin story. It's called Merlin. It's about Merlin. And then we are doing a play called Puffs in the summer, which is based off of Harry Potter.
Let me guess, Hufflepuffs?
Yeah, that's great. there's not a ton of sci-fi in our main stage this particular season, but our second stage, both plays are sci-fi. One is called Anniversary, involves time travel. That's going to be going up, I believe, in February. And there's another play called that's a really great play. You should check it out. That one, basically, if there was an award for best play of Paragon last year, that would have won. And the other play we're doing is a play developed by a local playwright called Generation Red, which is about the first children born on Mars. And it's kind of a Breakfast Club meets The Martian type play.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye out on those. Where is the website is otherworldtheater.org, but where is the other places people can keep track of you and, more importantly, buy tickets to performances?
Sure. Yeah, there are spots on the website that you can do that. You can like us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. So there's easy access to all that at Other World Theater. Theater R-E.
Yep, Theater
R-E.
Yeah, Theater spelled the classical way. You guys have a YouTube channel, too.
Yeah.
Talk about the content people can expect over there.
Well, here's the thing. So we are constantly developing new programming and new projects. So your guess would be about as good as mine, but I'm sure there's more to come. We have a LARPing company as well called Moonrise Games that's like a side project. So we do a lot with that. There's information available through Facebook and our website regarding that.
Oh, that sounds like a perfect place to put improv D&D on.
Yeah, well, you know, soon. We've got some good filmmakers who want to be involved with our company, so nice. I'm sure there will be much more YouTube content to come.
Well, Elliot, thank you for your time today and sharing with us your interest and your passion in seeing science fiction and fantasy on stage.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we'll have links to Otherworld Theater online and where you can find information on the film festival and the comedy festival and, more importantly, tickets to Paragon, because this seems like a really, really cool show. 40 shows in 2 days, Saturday, November 9th, Sunday, November 10th. Like I said, we'll have links to that. And the Otherworld Theater is, what's the address again?
The address, it's horrible. 3914 North Clark Street, Chicago, Illinois.
There you 60613.
Go.
And we'll have that on the website too. Again, thank you, Elliot.
You bet. Thank you so much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you, wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa, the first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors, Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more, with news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pohl, Wolf, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi as the Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
I'm not going to say a whole lot right now. I'm still recovering my voice, and I'm supposed to be narrating a story soonish. Hopefully a couple more days I might be okay, I hope. But their upcoming play, Generation Red, man, the pitch for that sounds like a movie I would love to watch. Breakfast Club meets the Martian. How cool is that? Anyway, how about you? What sort of stuff would you go see on stage if you had a wider variety selection of genre stories? Call in. The number is 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen here to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on TuneIn, on Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. You can leave a review for Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. And if you're enjoying the show, please do so. Support the show by letting other people know that you're enjoying it. How about that? You can follow us on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. You can check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We're @SliceOfSciFi over there. And, of course, there's the website, SliceOfSciFi.com. We do have another Secret Sauce contest going on. I'll probably pick a winner for that soonish. Not as many people entered, which, I don't know, I'm going to say people are getting busy with fall preparations, or they were just too busy in October enjoying Halloween-tober from beginning to end. Still a few days left to enter. Go to sliceofscifi.com, click on the Contact Us page, fill out the form, select Have a Different Question as your subject line, and in the message box, use the key phrase, The Babe with the Power. Once you enter that correctly, a list of available prizes will pop up. Pick one, pick a couple, and then submit. like to thank everyone who is supporting the show through Patreon or PayPal. Your donations do help keep things on around here. In addition to Slice of Sci-Fi, we have Writers After Dark and the newly jump-started Babylon podcast, which Tim and I are just doing a handful of episodes for the 25th anniversary. Yes, season one of Babylon 5 aired 25 years ago this year. Yeah, get off my lawn too. And another thing that should be finishing up this weekend is the revamp of the Charlie Jade podcast. The new artwork, new website, new mobile-friendly website, new HTTPS for secure stuff. Everything that Apple wanted so that the show will remain in their podcast store. So we got fresh new Charlie Jade artwork, fresh new Charlie Jade website. I even upgraded some of the images because I have a stash of images that I got from the original production team. And now I can use the high-res versions of those. So check those out if you want a blast from the past. I'd like to also throw a shout-out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for composing the theme music for the show that you hear. If you want to follow them, they are Sci-Fried. Sci-Fried.com is their website. You can check them out. Check their videos out over on YouTube. They are Sci-Fried over there, and you will be entertained. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, despite me nearly losing my voice. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.